It's good to see a few of you down here in the warm weather with me this week. A lot of people went up to Charleston and a few other places to cool off. I could have gotten ice out for them if they wanted it. Good to have you here. Matt had experienced 20 years prior in his life a remarkable connection with God. And he tells the story about his life when he was kind of just a nominal Christian. He didn't feel God's presence. He didn't feel close to God. He was happy just to go to church, but there wasn't really any intimacy there in his life. One day he was taking a stroll along the beach, and he saw a man his age out playing in the water with another gentleman who seemed to be mentally challenged, trying to enjoy having fun. And himself, he looked out there, and they were just, there's no place like the beach. They were splashing, jumping waves, and just enjoying, and he became jealous of this man, his age, giving time to this challenged man. And it wasn't long before he was thinking thoughts, because of the joy they were having, I wish they would drown. I wished they would just disappear. Because the joy they were having is something that he wanted, and there was no joy in his life. And there are so many people, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, who are trying to find some kind of meaning and joy in their life. And as he went back home, he determined in his heart that he was going to give up God, quit going to church, and just let it go. And then one day, he was impressed by these words. In the space of a heartbeat, the answer was just there. And he said, I do not allow you, this is God talking to him, I do not allow you to see the good in others to frustrate you. I allow you to see me at work in others' lives to inspire you. I do not keep myself apart from you. I am always with you. It is you who keeps yourself apart from me. Open your heart. There are as many ways to draw close to me as there are people on the earth. God has a multitude of ways to touch us, to get next to us. But how many of us have experienced this challenge of trying to find a relationship with God? And I would have to say probably every one of us. I can remember when I was going to La Sierra University. It was a Friday night. It was the day that my dad disappeared. And I went over to somebody's house. There we go. I went over to somebody's house to talk to them and discovered that the husband had left. The lady was afraid. And when the guy got home, he rapped on the door really loudly. And he said, I know you're in there, Pastor. Open up or I'll shoot everybody inside. It that doesn't make the little tingles going up and down your spine. And there I am. And my mom was needing help, and I was going to school and running a church and all of these different things. And on the way home, I cried out, God, if you have lightning, let it happen right now and strike me dead. There are sometimes we just wonder if God is really around. Because of our trials, we leave Him, not He us. I'd like to go to this beautiful text in John 6, 26 to 40. It's a little long, but there's some powerful information here that we really need to get in touch with this morning. John 6, 26. He's honest with us all the time, and he says, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I feed you. Not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the good works of God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this. To believe in the one He has sent. Verse 30. So they ask, what miraculous sign then will you give that we might see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, and as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you, you have seen me, and still, what does it say? You do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whosoever comes to me, I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Which day is the last day? Any ideas? Any dates? Any time? We're in the last days, I believe. Personal opinion. It's interesting to see all of the intricacies of this text. As we begin in verse 26, they wanted to be fed. They were happy. And they came back for more. And Jesus caught Jesus' attention. People look to the externals. They wanted food. Jesus just puts it right out there. You haven't come because of the miracles. You've come because of the food that I gave you. But not only that, they wanted a sign of which he had already given them. And it just, they missed it. It went over their head. But the one that's a real crux here is the next one. When the people go right to Moses. And they infer that Moses is the one that gave them the food. And we get that inference because of the response of Jesus. It is my Father that gave you the food, not Moses. As we look today at part one of this two-part series on prayer, we're looking at where the power is behind prayer. Because when we talk to God, we know He's honest with us. And He knows sometimes we just don't give the full, complete package to Him back. But sometimes we are not thinking in the same level He's thinking. The thing is we're more interested in the physical than the spiritual. And what do we find ourselves doing when we pray? Lord, if you could just help me pay my insurance this month. I'm needing some money so I can go see my aunt who's in the hospital. And those aren't bad things. In fact, they're good things. But the point is it's our focus. When we pray, our focus is on this earthly, temporal life that we live and looking at the needs that we have, praying that God will fulfill them, and we miss the miracle of the transformed heart and life. And you know what we do? We cry out to God, show us a sign. And we wait and we wait and we wait. And God's waiting to see it revealed in your life in the changed heart. And the next day we show us a sign. But all the while God is saying, if you'll just listen, I want to transform you. I want to change you. I want to give you something more glorious than you can even realize. As I was thinking about this, we get caught up in so much stuff. And in our small group, we kind of, at 5:30 during the week, we began to look at this. And we began to look at things in our life as we get closer to Christ that have taken up so much space and time. And I had to share my own little experience. I can remember when Mario Brothers first came out. I wanted to get in and rescue the princess. And I worked, and I worked, and I worked, and I worked a lot more. And finally, I rescued the princess. External, temporary things. When I could have been drawing closer to God, and I discovered this one important factor. The more time you spend with the external things, the less you feel the presence of God. The more time you spend in discovering the presence of God, the more you discover a supernatural change that comes, that draws you, that says, the princess has been saved by 100,000 other people. So why do you need to save the princess? And here my mind is on this base level. And then I pray and I ask God, okay, where's the miracle? Where's the change? Where's the dramatic experience that I've been waiting for? And He's been trying to tell me all the time that if I'd quit looking at the external, temporary things of life and look for the things that are more meaningful, He will become so real. And I will become so amazed at just how natural and easy things take place. Didn't they realize that where the manna came from with Moses? The irony is that they didn't even realize this amazing miracle right before their eyes. Now, there's a lesson for us. God can be right in front of us doing a miracle, and we will miss it totally because we are so consumed by the things of this life. He says, look for external or eternal things. Look for things that matter. Because if you don't, it's going to pass you by and you won't even recognize it. And the tragedy is when we're caught up in this other element of life, God is right there. And we're hearing two things. Two things. Come to me and do your own thing. As we sit there, mesmerized by the gods before us. There is this thought from Desire of Ages. I want us to read it together. The working of His power is ascribed to natural causes or the human instrumentality. What does that say there? The working of His power is ascribed to natural causes, strange phenomena, and human instrumentality. There is one thing that Lucifer has in this world that he's trying to do is he's trying to take you away from putting your eyes on Jesus Christ, and whereas there is no other place to put it than on yourself. No other place. Man is glorified in the place of God. And His gracious gifts are perverted to selfless uses and made a curse instead of a blessing. God is seeking to change all of this. He wants to do that in us. The problem is we're caught up in life and we can't see it. God is seeking to change all this. He desires that our dull senses shall be quickened to discern His merciful kindness and to glorify Him for the power, or for the working of His power. He wants to quicken our mind. It is so natural, so simplistic, so easy when we come to that place in our life. She goes on to say, He desires us to recognize Him in His gifts. Now, what gifts have you had this week? Christ was there. Christ was there. Recognize Him in His gifts that they may be blessed as He intended a blessing to us. It was to accomplish this purpose that the miracles of Christ were performed, and you are a miracle today. You're a miracle today. The problem is most of us don't even recognize it because we are not living in the spiritual realm. We are living in the physical, mundane, 24/7, try to get through the week, praying that Christmas would come here sooner so we could have our vacation. Trying to find some type of reality that would bring us something more than what we have. But see, it doesn't work that way. The deeper you get into self, the less that God we can see His miracles. And His work is to do that. But the thing is God wants to do that work in you so that 6 billion other people can see the same thing. There's a reason why we're here today. There's a reason why we are in Henderson, Las Vegas today. And that's to reveal the amazing power of God. Don't mind if I use you, Harry. Last night, Harry was coming home driving his truck. Just a little north of St. George. And all of a sudden he steps on the brake and his trailer brakes lock up. And he's doing this little number, you know. We all hope that we're not around when that happens with the truck. And what happened is somebody didn't connect the air hose properly to the truck, and it popped out, which caused it to lock up. But folks, today it's a miracle, because you never know what may happen. It was a miracle that you woke up this morning to come and worship God. It's a miracle. It's before our very eyes every day, and because we're so consumed with everything else, we don't see it as such. We don't see it as such. One of my favorite lines is from Martin Luther. And before I discovered it, I had my own little thing, but it's really close in similarity. Martin Luther said, "Pray and let God worry. Give it to God, and that's His problem. It's not our problem." Because see, folks, that's where faith kicks in. That's where faith kicks in. It's His problem to deal with it. Our problem is that we maintain this relationship. And I can remember so many times in my life where I was at the center of my life and not God. And I wonder where God was. For a couple of 3 years, I kind of just left the church. I'd go, but it didn't mean anything. But mentally, I left the church. Because I didn't see God there. Praise the Lord, He was with me all the time. Dorothy Bernard said, "Courage is fear that has said its prayers." Courage is fear that has said its prayers. What that is saying is that our fears become our strength when we give it to God, when we give it over to Him, when we let Him have it. I can't tell you how many years, I don't even know how many years it took to finally say, okay, I just let go of the problem. It's God's, and not to worry. And today is just part of my life. I don't. There's no reason to worry. It's His problem. And somewhere along, we have to cross this medium, if you will, to go from self into spiritual. And when you do, all the things that seem mundane and boring and discouraging and disappointing become alive. Because God's in it. God's there. And it changes. But as long as we walk this little path on our own, the blur of heaven and God seem unrealistic to us. And so we worry and we fret and we become discouraged and we're disappointed because we don't think God's working, but He can't work because we're not connected with Him. Is that obvious yet? What gives God this opportunity? I just love this. It's back in this verse at the beginning. It's verse 27. "But God, but don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food and clothes and games and life. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." And then I love this line because it's what gives Jesus Christ permission. "For God the Father gave me the seal of His approval." The stamp. I'm giving my Son the recognition. I'm giving Him the authority to change your life. To make a miracle out of you. What's the greatest miracle? God changing our lives. That's the greatest miracle. It isn't feeding 20,000 people. It isn't doing special little things in our life that, whoa, wow, that is amazing. The miracle is the changed life. That's what God is waiting to establish with you and He. That is what He's waiting to communicate. That whatever happens in His life is going to happen. If you've ever read the Old Testament with this in mind, read it through quickly, and what you're going to discover is God was willing to give Israel everything. No sickness. Clothes that would never wear out. More property than that their minds could ever realize. If you just think, if the Jews could claim that promise today, they'd have the world. But they were living on the temporal. You want to know how disgusting it is to me when I look at some of the Old Testaments? I have enough of this manna. Give me quail! When they had the gift right there to sustain life. Give me quail! Turkey, roast beef, whatever. But once you get in there, it's like it's a whole new universe. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new life. And that's what God is offering and asking that we would accept today. The only way that happens is if you walk out between those two doors determined to develop that relationship. It's the bottom line. Even those who may be growing in Christ need to still develop even to a higher level that experience. We never stop growing. We never stop being in Jesus Christ. The neatest thing about Jesus is He likes to take crack pots and fill them with the best living water that the world has ever tasted, because the miracle is He'll change your life just as He changed the water into wine. And we have got to make a decision to move past that. We can't stay where we are, or we're going to miss the miracle. And I don't want you missing the miracle today of God changing your life, transforming you. The miracle is that He wants to change your life for eternity, not the petty little things that we deal with every day. That's nothing. He can give you all of that in a moment's notice when you're spiritually ready with it, for it, with Him. That's what He's waiting for. It's a tough one. It's a very tough one because we have to battle the temporal and the spiritual. But we have to make decisions all along the way to make that happen in our life. You're going to love this song, I do. Heavenly Father, there is a river. Too many times we pass by it for something we think is much better. But Lord, today we are making the decision to come and drink of that living water. Lord, we are thirsty. We need the experience with You. Thank You, Father. Go with us this week in Your grace and Your love, in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you. Have a rich week. And drop by the Living Water River. Take a drink. Satisfy your soul. God bless.